Once there was a time when all the elements of earth, sea, and sky lived on the land together in many, many villages.
Many years ago, back in the old country, there lived a holy, sweet couple who loved each other so very much.
A long time ago, in a village somewhere in Tamil Nadu, there lived a monkey.
There was once a man, tall and handsome, who met a woman, beautiful and elegant, and they fell in love with each other.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away and will bring you back safely. A few weeks back, I had the delight of going to the Timpanogos Storytelling Festival in Utah. This was the first year it was in Ashton Gardens, and it was absolutely magical. Large white tents nestled in hills of green, and paths that led from tent to tent and garden to garden, each one more lovely than the next. I heard stories about mermaids and bears and kings who wrote bad poetry. If you ever have a chance to go to the festival, I would highly recommend it. On Saturday afternoon, I was wandering on a path looking for the bathroom when I saw one across a stretch of grass. I saw the sign, "Don't walk on the grass," but I really needed to hurry. The next session of stories was starting in a few minutes, and I wouldn't walk on the grass. I would dash or scamper, neither of which is walking. The moment I put my foot on the grass, I felt the world tilt. And it wasn't because the ground was soft. I kept walking, but it took me so long to get from one step to the next, like walking in slow motion. The grass shimmered a little, and beads of dew appeared as I was looking at them. The air grew cool and quiet, which was odd, as I had just passed the music tent, and I was sure I had heard the band singing. If all that hadn't tipped me off that something strange was happening, I knew it when I saw the tent. It hadn't been there a moment ago, and it didn't look like the large white tents that shone in the sunlight on the paths behind me. This one was smaller, and in the shade, but it was brilliant red with yellow trim and green ropes that ran to blue stakes in the ground. As I stared, I saw that the chairs were almost full, but they were not full of people. There was a man with goat hooves and horns talking to a very tall woman with green hair. There were paisley-patterned creatures who clung to the ropes and the tall poles that supported the tent. As I stared, a girl with soft brown hair, dressed in blue, ran up to me and took my hand.
"Come along! The stories are about to start! You are just in time!"
As she turned to pull me to an empty purple chair, I saw the wings shimmering on her back. This was not going to be a normal story session. As I sat to hear the stories, I was reminded of a story about the fairies told by Colorado storyteller Dawn Cromwell. This is the story, The Baker Woman.
Far away and longer ago, there was a baker woman named Margaret. And Margaret was the finest baker in five kingdoms. Her cookies were sugary and soft, and her muffins, moist and marvelous. But Margaret was best known for her cakes. She would create intricately balanced wedding cakes, wreathed in garlands of sugared roses so lifelike you'd swear you could smell them. And she'd also make little cakes for birthday parties and christenings, delicately detailed with piping and soft sugared booties on top. But she was best known for her chocolate cakes. Rich and decadent, with a smell that you could fill a room with and bring everyone in. Now, Margaret's cakes were known far and wide, and everyone would come in order to order one for their celebration. Now, Margaret was a fair woman, and for those who could pay, she charged accordingly. And for those who could not, she always managed to work something out. For, as Margaret liked to say, everyone deserves cake once in a while. But the stories of her delicious desserts spread to even the fairy kingdom. And after the parties were over and the guests had left, the fairies would sneak in, flitter and flutter among the plates, looking for even a crumb. But they were all licked clean, for nobody left crumbs behind from Margaret's cakes. And the fairies, they got irritated. "It's not fair. We deserve cake, too. What can we do?" And they went to their king, and their king thought, and came up with a plan. "We shall capture the baker woman and bring her to Fairyland to bake for us every day." And so, the very next morning, they lay in wait behind the peach-colored rose bush along the path to the dairy farm where Margaret traveled every morning to get the butter and the milk that she needed for her recipes. And as she passed by, they leapt out and sprinkled fern root in her eyes. And she found herself so sleepy. She thought she must sit down for just a... She fell asleep. When she awoke, there were 100 pairs of tiny eyes staring at her expectantly. And Margaret, being a clever woman, discovered and decided immediately where she was and probably why she was there. And quick as a cat's blink, she came up with a plan. "Oh, my goodness," she said, getting up and dusting herself off. "Am I in Fairyland? Oh, how marvelous. I've always wanted to come to Fairyland. Why have you brought me here?" "You are going to bake us cakes like you bake for all of the big people. And you shall bake us a cake every single day." "Oh, my little friends, what an honor. I would be glad to bake cakes for you. I will make you one of my famous chocolate cakes. I will fill it and cover it with fudgy, ooey, gooey icing just for you. Is that something you'd like?" "Ah, yes!" And the fairies fluttered about and clapped their hands and jumped for joy. "Excellent," said Margaret. "Let's begin. I will need, let's see," and she ticked off all of the ingredients. "Flour, sugar, eggs, cocoa, oh, and milk." The fairies started to get worried. For fairies, as we all know, do not eat the same kinds of food that we eat. They prefer the nuts and the berries of the forest and the fine apple wine that they make themselves. But flour and eggs were not to be found in the fairy kingdom. "Oh, don't trouble yourselves, my little friends. Everything that we need is at home in my kitchen. Now, if you'll just be so kind as to fly back and fetch them for me, I'll get started immediately." And so the fairies were excited. They spread their wings, departed Fairyland, flew out of the forest and over the fields and into Margaret's kitchen, where between them they lifted the bag of flour and gathered the eggs and the butter and sugar and cocoa and all the ingredients that Margaret had named off for them. And together they carried them back to Fairyland and set them before her. "Oh, how marvelous. Thank you so much, my little friends. I couldn't do this without you. This will be a grand cake indeed. Now then, if you'll just bring me your measuring cups and spoons and a bowl, I'll get started." Ooh. They thought. The council was convened, and a great search was made, and finally they were able to bring her a bathtub that was about the size of a teacup. "Oh, I'm afraid this won't do, my little friends. I'll tell you what. If you'll make one more trip to my kitchen and get my measuring cups and my spoons and my big orange crockery bowl, I can get started." The fairies were a little tired from bringing all the ingredients, but the thought of that chocolate cake was enough that they spread their wings, departed Fairyland, flew out of the forest, over the fields, and into Margaret's kitchen once again, where they collected all of the things that she needed to mix up the ingredients. Now, it took 10 fairies to carry just the orange mixing bowl, but somehow they managed to get it back to Fairyland, and they deposited everything in front of Margaret. Oh, the tired fairies fluttered and flopped in corners and watched in fascination as Margaret measured out sugar and cracked the eggs and began to whisk everything together. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. After a while, poor Margaret began to sigh. Oh, what's the matter? Well, nothing really. It's just my cat Ginger. Usually she sits next to me while I bake, and she purrs so contentedly that it keeps me calm, and I'm able to remember all of the ingredients and the steps and how to do everything, and I'm just a little bit worried that without her I might forget something, and I would so hate to ruin your beautiful cake. Would it be all right if you brought my Ginger to me? Fairies were a little concerned about bringing a cat to Fairyland, which didn't seem like a very good idea. Margaret, she calmed them. Oh, my poor Ginger. She is so old she can't even catch butterflies anymore. I assure you, you will be quite safe. And so the fairies spread their wings, departed Fairyland, flew out of the forest and over the fields and into Margaret's kitchen, where Ginger was sleeping contentedly in a sunray through the window. They scooped up the surprised cat, brought her back to Fairyland, and deposited her in front of Margaret. Oh, oh, Ginger. Margaret stroked the silky fur until the little cat began to purr contentedly. Oh, that's just the thing, my dear. You sit right there, and I will get going. And soon, Margaret was off again. She began to add the flour and the cocoa and the other ingredients and began to stir, and all of a sudden, oh, she sighed again. What is it now? You've got your cat, your bowls, Evie. I know, it's just that my dog Rufus usually sits next to me while I bake. He wags his tail, and the thumping of his tail sets the time for me as I stir so that I keep the proper rhythm and everything gets blended properly. And without him, I'm just worried that this won't turn out the way that it ought to. And I was just... And they scooped up the gangly dog and deposited him in front of Margaret. And she began to stroke the silky ears, and the tail began to thump, thump, thump on the floor. Thump, 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 purr, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Began to get a little bit noisy in the makeshift kitchen. And fairies don't like noise. But it wasn't too bad yet. And so she whisked, and everything was going quite well until... Oh! Yes? Well, it's... My baby will be waking up soon, and when she sees that I'm not there, she's about to cry, and I just... When I think of her crying, I'm going to cry, and then the tears are going to make the batter bitter, and I... And they go, and they scooped up very carefully the young baby and brought it back to its mother and put it in his mother's arms. Oh, Bunkin, look at you. You're so sweet. Mommy's gonna make a cake and you can see the fairies. And then she reached out and pinched the baby's cheeks in a way that babies particularly dislike. And the baby began to cry. And the fairies covered their ears. Oh, what a noise! How can such a small creature have such large lungs? Do something. Make it stop. Well, I can't. I'm at the most important part of the baking. But perhaps if you were to fetch my husband, he could... The surprised husband, who had just returned home and found his cat, his dog, his wife, and his baby disappeared from the home, suddenly was more surprised at being plucked up by his trouser pants, flown to Fairyland. He's placed in front of his wife, who gave him a knowing wink, and the baby... And he knew that, as in all situations, she had things perfectly under control, and waited to see what might happen. As he reached for the baby, and Margaret leaned in and said, "Step on Ginger's tail." And so, being the obedient husband that he is, He stepped on the tail of the cat. Meow! Melded with the baby crying. The cat, of course, immediately leapt on poor Rufus, who started howling in dismay. And the noise and the ruckus of the baby and the cat and the dog and the whisking was too much for the fairies. Oh, this had better be a good cake. I can't take it. Wait, I am almost done, my little friends. I am so sorry for the trouble. Now then, where is your oven? Take her home. Take her home. Take them all home, cried the poor fairies. And so everybody was scooped up and kicked out of fairyland. But Margaret, being a kind woman, thought that the poor fairies had done so much that it would simply not be right to deprive them of the cake they had worked so hard for. And so she called back before the doorway closed, "I will leave your cake by the rose bush." And so that very evening, she went and placed a beautiful, decadent chocolate cake by the peach-colored rose bush. And as she did, she noticed a gift from the fairies, a small bag of gold. And every week she would bring a cake for the fairies, and they would give her the bag of gold. And so Margaret was able to provide even more cakes for the townspeople and the poor and those who could not otherwise come for them. Because, as Margaret said, everyone deserves to have cake once in a while.
Who cares about the cat's pajamas when you can have the cat's fine footwear? Puss in Boots is an entrepreneurial cat, and he knew his shoes and the right branding would take him anywhere he wanted to go. He walked all over the world to find the most perfect materials, and his designer footwear shows the attention to detail. Look gorgeous in his line of heels. From faux leather to glass, your feet will be comfortable as you dance all night long. The Seven League Boots line will have you walking wherever you're headed with confidence. And don't forget the slippers. They are so comfortable, he calls them slippers, and you will be as comfortable as a cat in the sunshine. All items in Puss in Boots Shoe Shop is Fairy Trade certified, and he takes all forms of payment, including credit cards and rodents. Puss in Boots Shoe Shop. Let him make you a perfect shoe. The red tent at the festival was full, and I was seated between the blue fairy girl and a gnome, red pointy hat and all. The tent was full of shifting noises and whispers, whistles and sounds of creatures stirring, but then they all grew quiet. On the stage stepped a creature that resembled a rock with eyes. He said with a voice that sounded like rocks grinding together,
"Welcome to the afternoon session of the Timpanogos Fairy Storytelling Festival. We would like to thank our sponsor, Puss in Boots Shoe Shop, and welcome to the stage our first storyteller."
The crowd made noise, and some of it was clapping. Onto the stage, the rock with eyes carried a lady who had long black hair and a tail of a fish. And so began one of the most interesting story sessions I have ever attended. There were three tellers: the mermaid, a creature who was almost all shadow and light, and another one that looked like a lemur with violet fur and snake for a tail. The lemur was so small they had to put a stage on the stage for the little creature to be eye level. There were stories about foolish humans and stealing children. Most of the stories were about humans doing something silly and occasionally escaping. It was enchanting, and I don't think it was just the company. When the final applause had faded away, I stood as if I was dreaming. The fairy in blue took my hand.
"Now, the question is to return you, or to keep you here forever."
Her smile didn't look so friendly when she said that, and I blurted out the first thing I could think of. "I have to go to the bathroom." She found this hilarious and giggled until I thought she would pass out.
"I guess we can't keep you then. Come along."
She took my hand, pulled me across the grass. I still felt like I was moving in slow motion. When we finally made it to the edge of the path, she tugged my shirt till I bent down. She whispered in my ear,
"Stories are alive. They must be told to keep living. Remember to tell stories."
Then the little tart shoved me hard, and I fell sprawling onto the path. The moment I hit the ground, the world snapped into focus. The music was in the air again, the sound of people, and the wind blowing lightly. I looked at my watch. Only 60 seconds had passed, 1 minute in my world. I looked out across the lawn again, and it was empty, except for the sign that read, "Don't walk on the grass." I do not think I got out of the situation with the other crowd because I was clever. I think I was lucky. But the next story told by Nora Dooley is about a clever woman. This is Katarina the Wise.
Katarina the Wise, farmer's daughter. Once, a poor farmer was hoeing in his field when his hoe struck something metal. He dug around and uncovered a beautiful golden bowl and brought it home immediately. "Look at this, daughter," he said. "I will bring this to the king, for surely it must be his, and he will reward me." His daughter admired the bowl, but she said, "Papa, papa, aspetta, wait a minute. Think, anyone can see that this bowl once had a top. The first thing the king will say, after he says thank you, will be, 'Where's the top?'" "Oh, don't be silly, daughter," said the farmer. And he brought the bowl to the king the very next day. And what did the king say but, "Thank you very much, peasant, but where is the golden top to my golden bowl?" And the farmer hit himself in the forehead and said, "Ah, that's just what she said you'd say." "Who is this who knew what I would say?" said the king. "Oh, your majesty, that's my daughter, Katarina," said the farmer. "She is known far and wide for her wit. I should have listened to her." "Is that so?" said the king. "Well then, take this message to your wise peasant girl. I want to see her when she has made me 20 linen shirts for my palace guard." And the king put a bag of flaxseed in the farmer's hand. "Tell her I want them tomorrow, and my word is law." "Oh, dear," said the farmer. And, "Oh, dear," again, he said when he returned home and told his daughter what had happened. "It's even worse than you thought. Now I have you in trouble, too." And he told his daughter the king's wishes, but she just laughed. She gave her father an acorn and this message for the king. "Tell the king," she said, "here is an acorn. The very day he makes an oak loom for weaving, from this acorn, I will finish his shirts for him." Well, her father was frightened to bring her answer, but the king was so pleased with her words that he asked to meet this Katarina. "Tell your daughter, peasant, that she must come to my palace when it is neither night nor day. She must come neither riding nor walking. She should be neither hungry nor fed, neither naked nor clothed. And she must be here tomorrow. My word is law." Hearing this next challenge, Katarina smiled, and after thinking a bit, she laughed. "Not to worry, father," she said. And that night, she rose before the dawn, well before the dawn, and she prepared for her visit. She chewed at a pea pod and spit out the rest. She wrapped herself in a fishnet and tied the net to the saddle of her donkey, and so she was dragged and hopped, and she left in the dark of the night. She arrived at the palace just before dawn, when it is neither full night nor yet day's beginning. Well, the king was delighted. He had Katarina dressed in the finest silks, and they spent the day talking and laughing. The king decided to marry her the very next day, and a great feast was ordered for the celebration. Everyone was invited. The king told Katarina that although she would then be queen, his word was still law, and she must never, ever poke her nose in his business or judgments. And Katarina agreed. Her father was worried, and he said, "You know what, Katarina, I'm going to save your rake and hoe and your work clothes, because I know this kind of good luck cannot last for the likes of us. You and your big mouth will be home soon enough." "Oh, Papa," said Katarina, and she gave him a hug. The festivities for the wedding filled the town, and the inns were overfull. One farmer had brought a pregnant cow into town to sell and had to spend the night in the piazza next to a wagoner. In the night, his cow gave birth to a new calf, and she was under the wagon. The wagoner, the owner of the wagon, claimed that he was also the owner of the new calf. The owner of the cow couldn't believe it. He raged and spluttered, and the wagoner argued and argued. Their quarrel grew so fierce that a huge crowd gathered, and finally they were dragged into the king's court of justice. Well, the king was preoccupied with his wedding plans and gave the case little attention. Since the wagoner was the calmer of the two men, he gave this decision. Fine, fine, the calf goes with the cart. Well, the owner of the cow couldn't stand it, so he snuck back into the palace and found Katerina alone. He told her the whole story, and she gave him this advice. I tell you what you must do. Go out to where the king hunts every morning. There is the dry riverbed, and it meets the road. Bring your nets for fishing. When the king comes, he will laugh at you and ask why you are fishing in a dry river. And you will say this, Your Highness, if a cart can give birth to a cow, then rocks can spawn fish, and I intend to catch some. It happened just as Katerina said it would, except that the king guessed it was Katerina that the farmer had been talking to, especially since when asked, the farmer did not deny it. So the king reversed his decree and returned the calf to him. And he returned to the palace in a rage and called Katerina. You have meddled in my judgments. I forbade it. It is now back to your farm and your father you can go, and you may take one thing, only one. Take the thing you care about most home with you, and leave at once. Katerina said, I will do as you wish, Majesty. But why don't you let me leave tonight, after dinner, when no one is about? It will be less embarrassing for us both. The king agreed. And he also agreed to a last dinner, which she proposed. Katerina had a heavy and salty meal prepared, and she served the king herself, pouring generous glasses of wine with each course. The king was melancholy and ate and drank quite a lot, and soon enough he fell asleep and was snoring like a pig. Katerina called the servants in and ordered them to carry the king, chair and all, to her father's tiny house in the country. There she put him to bed. In the morning, the king awoke to the braying of a donkey and the cluck of chickens, and he had a sore back from the thin mattress, and he said, Katerina, Katerina, where am I? And she said, We are home, Your Highness. You said that I should return home with the one thing I loved most. I took you home, and I'm keeping you. Well, the king laughed and laughed, and of course they made up. They went back to the royal palace, where they still live today, judging and arguing, laughing and loving together.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show notes and more information about the storytellers you heard today can be found at storystorypodcast.com/episode31. Show the love. Find Don Cromwell and Nora Dooley on Facebook and the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. In fairy tales, the magic number is 3, so I have 3 things for you to do. 1, like and rate the show on iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. 2, join the mailing list. You will get a link to the podcast delivered to your inbox, plus news and other storytelling-related goodness. 3, consider becoming a supporter for as little as $4 a month, the cost of warm fall socks. You help support the podcast and will get access to the Story Story Short, which is just what it sounds like, an extra story just for the patrons. The short for this episode is by Megan Hicks and is The Book of Joe Bob. You can find out how to support the podcast and join the mailing list at storystorypodcast.com. And a thank you as big as oak trees with leaves turning red to those who are donating. If you would like to stay connected, you can find me and the podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. Please come say hello. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. Next episode, we are heading into the spooky season. It is my favorite storytelling season of the year, and so are some of the stories you'll be hearing next week. I hope you'll join me again, and until then, live happily ever after.
The wedding lasted for 7 days. I know. I was there.
I would cross 27 countries, wear out 3 pairs of boots, battle 2 giants, and the grandmother of all witches, Baba Yaga, before I was reunited with my frog princess. But that's a story for another time.
The last thing he said before he died was a curse on anyone who would dare to go sing with the fairies.
Just because a story is strange, do not mistake. It can also be true.